Well, let's bring in Rob Perez into the conversation. Follow him on Twitter at Worldwide Wob. What is going on, Rob? How much are you enjoying this helter-skelter NBA Finals that gives us storyline after storyline?
Quite thankful that we have an extra 2-3 days there between Monday and Thursday of games, because that was potentially the last game of the season. There was going to be no more games at Oracle, and it kind of hit me there that I'm not sure if I'm quite ready for basketball yet, so at least we have one more game here to hold us over.
Right, and given how that game unfolded, how do you kind of measure up the rest of the series? Has Golden State kind of found that fountain they needed? Are the hearts of the champions going to come through, or are they just too banged up here to win three straight against a Raptors team that has just been so stout throughout the playoffs?
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head there, that it's hard to believe that the Toronto Raptors are just a better team than the Golden State Warriors, but I think that's true without Kevin Durant on the floor. What we witnessed in Game 5 was arguably one of, if not the gutsiest performances I've ever seen from a finals team between Klay and Steph. I mean, that was their statue game. That's the game they're going to build the statue outside the Chase Center in downtown San Francisco. When they move down there to the arena, the hardest punch to throw against the Warriors has always been the knockout, right? We've seen them down 3-1 against Oklahoma City in the past, and they just don't die, man. It's truly remarkable. That you know what's coming, right? We're watching that game. Even Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, and DeMarcus Cousins weren't even looking to shoot the ball. The whole world knew that Steph and Klay were coming those off-ball screens, and they were still hitting the shots anyway. But as you just said, it's a seven-game series. It's not, that wasn't just the one game you survive in advance. They're going to have to find a way to do that for 48 minutes in two separate games. You're asking Steph and Klay to carry this team against a deeper, better, fundamentally more sound basketball team than them. And I just don't know if they can do it.
We're talking to Rob Perez, senior NBA producer at the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. And not having Kevin Durant, and they're using that injury as motivation. They're also using the Raptors fans cheering when KD went down as inspiration. Is there enough fuel there for them to be able to bottle this up? Really? Like, because if they're looking at all these other factors to get the energy, and that's what they should be doing, but it seems like almost grasping at straws at some point.
Yeah, first of all, every team, whether you're in Canada or the United States, has good fans and bad fans. That's the case with pretty much any scenario ever debated in the history of humankind. So the bad fans, you know, are clearly getting the spotlight here for cheering when he went down. Did they use it for motivation and fuel? It sure as hell sounded like they did, because after the game, they said they heard it. It pissed them off. And you know, when they went into the locker room up 6 points, that Draymond Green was standing in the middle of that locker room giving one of his speeches that we'll hear about 5 years from now about how the series turned in that very moment. So that's honestly the only thing that they have an advantage over, is that emotion and that fuel in playing for Kevin Durant, their brother, that sacrificed himself the same way Leonidas at the Hot Gates ate all of those arrows in the movie 300. That's kind of what it felt like there. And now they're ready for war. That doesn't mean that they weren't ready before, but it is something that they are going to have to channel to get them through these 40 to 45 minute games that Steph and Klay are going to have to play. We talk about Boogie being hurt. Mm. We talk about Durant being hurt. How soon do we forget that Steph's ankles are probably 40 to 50%. They're made of glass. And Klay arguably has a torn hamstring, and they just keep playing through it. So they're going to need that emotion, that testosterone that comes, the adrenaline that comes from those type of moments, and that's ultimately what's going to get them through.
One thing we definitely did learn in Game 5, though, the Warriors' heart of champions right now, and the fact that you're going through those injuries, yeah, we tend to forget, maybe overlook some of those, but this is why they are back-to-back now, defending champions with the title on the line here. But if the Warriors can somehow force Game 7, how do they get through the two big men in Toronto there in Ibaka and Gasol? Because now you know Durant's not coming back. Looney is most likely done for the series as well. Do they have the ability to get through those guys?
They do if they shoot it from beyond the three-point line and those guys can't be swatting shots in the paint and that they've been doing all series. That's what's made Toronto so scary, right? The Jurassic Park defense that they've built into. It's like it feels like they have eight guys on the floor at all times. So between Danny Green, Siakam, Ibaka, Kawhi, Gasol, they cover so much ground that if they won, they get beat off the dribble. They can contest at the rim even if they get beat, because they can make up for it with their length. And two, they can switch everything. So when they're running those patented off-ball screens or the high pick and rolls for Steph where he pulls up from 30-plus feet, they can switch those and negate the whole purpose of the pick and roll. So I think the sample size of the seven games is ultimately going to reign supreme here, and the length and the just pure athleticism and skill that all of these Raptors players have is going to be too much, because they're the ones getting easy buckets. They're the ones getting all the offensive rebounds like they were in the end of the fourth quarter there. And when you're getting easy buckets like that, that's the only way you're going to be able to knock off the Warriors, because they're so reliant on Steph and Clay being these superheroes.
As interested as we are in watching the Raptors players bounce back and how they control their emotions, how much are you now watching Nick Nurse? Because in the dying minutes of that game in Game 5, timeout issues were definitely a storyline as the Raptors lose by 1 point there. And this is a first-year head coach also facing the second game in a row where he's got the NBA titles within his grasp.
I'm on the other side of the fence regarding this timeout narrative that's been going around, because I watched the game back three times yesterday. This is what happens when there's no basketball on. I just sit here and I watch it play to the finals game. So this, when he called that timeout, the Raptors were rolling, right? You're like, why would you bust the momentum like that and give the Warriors an opportunity to regroup? Well, what happened there was Kawhi and Lowry were slow getting up the floor, and by the time the ball got into Lowry's hands, there was 13 seconds left on the shot clock. And they were looking back for a play call. So before you know it, before they even would have gotten into the offense, if there was, let's say, 9 seconds on the shot clock, they would have to run that play in 9 seconds. So I'm actually not against that timeout, because Nick Nurse sensed that we don't know what we're running here, and I want to preserve as much time as possible. Yes, is it going to give Golden State an opportunity to regroup? Yeah, but I would rather draw up an ATO and get our guys a good look at the expense of that. So for me personally, it wasn't that big of a mistake as it's been going around in the media. But ultimately, Nick Nurse got them to this point as the rookie head coach of the Toronto Raptors to be up 3-1. He has survived the Philadelphia 76ers in 7. He survived blowing that opening game to Orlando. He survived a better Milwaukee Bucks team. There's nothing that suggests to me that he's not ready for this moment.
Well, and one of the things about Nick Nurse throughout the playoffs, he hasn't been afraid of mixing things up and trying things, and he hasn't been afraid of looking stupid if something goes wrong. So, you know, if you are willing to take risks, because you're willing to make things, you know, not be afraid, for instance, then sometimes it's going to come back to bite you. The question is, how well does he adjust back for Game 6? Because we've seen Nick Nurse almost every single game come up with a new wrinkle that throws Golden State off a little bit.
Yeah, this man has run a box and one and a triangle and two. Yeah. So when Clay comes out of the game for that short little rest at the end of the third quarter into the fourth, he went immediately to a triangle and two. That's like eighth grade JV defense right there. Not something you run in the NBA, but it works, because there's not a soul on that Golden State team that was willing to shoot the ball besides Steph and Clay. Even all these great players, champions that have been there before, the Livingstons and the Iguodalas, they wouldn't shoot. And he was daring them to shoot. And it kind of worked. It got him back in the game a little bit, but they were down coming into that point. He's not afraid to go down with his gut, which I think is ultimately, we can play hindsight and Monday morning quarterback all that we want, that this worked and the boxing one didn't, shouldn't have done this. But in the moment, it sure felt like he was doing that to put the pressure on those guys that weren't ready for it. And to be honest, it did work.
We're talking NBA Finals with Rob Perez from the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. Now, with Kevin Durant out, is Kawhi Leonard clearly the best player in the series?
Yeah, he may have been, even with Kevin Durant on the floor. That's just how well he's been playing. For me, someone who's always been such a proponent of basketball being a two-way sport, we oftentimes get caught up in guys that can put the ball in the bucket. Your Kyrie Irvings of the world, Carmelo Anthony's and Allen Iversons of years past. Kawhi Leonard is even better on defense than he is on offense. And for his ability to clean the glass and just alter the game, that he can switch onto Steph Curry, he can guard Kevin Durant, he can guard your five, he can guard any position on the floor. Those are things that are just completely undervalued in today's game, and where the NBA is headed, this new era of no more positions, just swingmen, like five swingmen on the floor at once. He's the best of them all. And his ability to not only put the ball in the bucket, but continue to just wreak havoc on defense truly makes him one of, if not the best players in the league. And I think at this point, you do have to put him into that category, win or lose, of it's LeBron James, it's Kevin Durant, pre-injury at least, and it's also Kawhi Leonard.
Game 6 coming up tomorrow night, final game at the Oracle Arena in Oakland. And before we let you go, Rob, taking just a quick look at the NBA offseason to come, words coming out this morning, the agent for AD, Rich Paul, saying, look, if the Celtics want to acquire Anthony Davis, they should know this is going to be a strictly rental move. He's going to hit the market in 2020. The Raptors similarly had an approach this past summer, as we know, acquiring Kawhi Leonard. It's worked out pretty damn well for them. As we mentioned, their win away from the NBA title. So is it worth the Celtics to go maybe make that move? Obviously, having to give up a young piece to get AD, but maybe assuring that they go further into the playoffs than what we've seen over the past couple of years.
We've seen rentals work. You just mentioned Kawhi, and also the Paul George thing. Like, they traded for Paul George and just prayed that he would re-sign there, and we'll prove to you why you should. And whether Oklahoma City has won something or not, he stayed, which was the ultimate goal there. So can Boston trade for him and be a really good team if they somehow brought back Kyrie Irving, which is now a question mark? Sure. Like, I think they would certainly be a contender in the East. But let's remember, everything that we read from agents is clearly an agenda-based narrative. They have an ultimate goal, which is going to remain secret between him and his client, and we are going to give out information, because it's our job to do this, to get that goal done. So let's just say, hypothetically, he wants to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. Wouldn't it be real smart to come out with an SI feature with me on the cover saying, we won't sign an extension with Boston. We'll come out and say we're not signing with anybody, but that may just be posturing to get us to the Lakers where, yeah, we know we'll sign. So I'm taking everything that I hear from an agent with a grain of salt, simply because anything that they say is in the best interest of their client and may not wholeheartedly be true.
Well, if they weren't running propaganda, they're probably not doing their job right anyways. So, I mean, that's what you expect from an agent, and that's what they should be doing. He is Rob Perez at Worldwide Wob on Twitter. And we went through why it's Wob and not Wobe, because of it goes back. And you should tell some of the listeners that may have not heard you last time you were on, but it was because of a significant other who mispronounced your name.
Yeah, it's the worldwide part comes from World Wide West. So we talk about Rich Paul being the biggest power broker in the NBA. At one point, it was World Wide West.
Right.
So it starts with worldwide, and my first name is Rob, but my fifth-grade girlfriend, she couldn't pronounce the letter R. It sounded
Wobbert.
Like Wob, and I was forever known as Wob.
Love it.
So, by the way, you mentioned that you went on a date recently on social media. Is there a second date coming up with this new person?
I think that's the plan. It's a first date. So, you know, first dates are always kind of honeymoon period.
Right.
And we'll see how it goes from there.
Well, hopefully it lasts longer than the NBA finals.
that's true. That means six dates. So
yes.
That's a lot of dates.
That's true.
Indeed.
That
is
true.
Like in a relationship.
Yeah. He is Rob Perez, senior NBA producer at the Action Network, actionnetwork.com. Hey, Rob, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. Enjoy the finals, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks
a lot,
Rob.
You got it. That's Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob.
Sportsnet 650.